when she's spoon, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you're watching and or listening to the Black Vibe Reality podcast, a place for Black Vibe baddies and those who love us. This episode is going to be a little bit different because it's just a straight up interview, and no, we're not going to be focusing totally on reality TV, although the person I'm interviewing has been on reality TV before. I am talking to Sherique Atkinson, director, filmmaker. I also saw her on Amazing Race and interviewed her for that. So I am so excited to speak with you, Sherique, about your new project. But how are you doing?
I'm so well. So happy to be here. Happy to be talking to you again. So lovely to see your face. But no, I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Now, your new project is called Man-Hating Lesbians, which
right.
I love that name.
The
description I have is that three friends, River, Sarah, and Aphrodite, must redefine what it means to be a practicing dyke in NYC when new love interests interrupt their stagnant lives. Man-Hating Lesbians takes the inciting, dramatic, hair-pulling dyke drama of the L Word and puts it in the fast-paced, biting comedic timing of Broad City.
Lesbian Jesus. A little birdie told me they're canceling all my shows. The lesbian vampires, the lesbian baseball players, even the lesbian high fantasy shit? Good fucking God. Are you yearning for a show about dykes in New York who are just as embarrassing as you? Then you, my friend, are a man-hating lesbian. And boy, do I have a show for you.
Ooh, that just... it hits all the right... notes. How did you find this project to come on board as the director?
Yeah, so I actually had a premiere for my short film called Bodega, and it premiered at like a really historic, well-known queer space called House of Yes in Brooklyn. And it was crazy. We had like 300 people. There was a 60-person guest list. It was really incredible. But at my premiere at the after party, this person came up to me and they were like, hey, like, I loved your short film, because my short film was also queer as hell. And they were like, I love this. I love the way that you, you know, were able to like portray like the nuances of queer, specifically sapphic relationships on camera. Are you interested in like taking a meeting with me and my co-creator about Man-Hating Lesbians?
Hi, my name is Malia. I'm a co-creator of Man-Hating Lesbians. I'm Jess. I am one of the co-creators and the writer of Man-Hating Lesbians.
Hi, I'm Sherique, and I'm the director of Man-Hating Lesbian.
And I was like, first of all, the name eats. I was like, you're eating with this name. I was like, I'm sat, tell me more. So the next week I had a meeting with them. I read the script. I was like, okay, give me some time. Like, let me read the script. Let me like really think about it. But I read the script and I was like, this is insane. I was like, this is literally so funny. Because it's so incredible. So that's basically how I got brought on as the director is... and it was really, really beautiful, and I'm so, so, so happy because the script is incredible and there need to be more stories like this.
Nice, nice. That makes so much sense. Are you a native New Yorker?
So I actually grew up half here and half in Orlando. So I was here until I was 12, and then I was in Orlando from 12 to 21, and then I came back here in 2019.
Definitely a native New Yorker then.
Yeah.
What is it like? Because I know you're on set now. What has it been like filming in the city?
Ooh, filming in the city is chaos. It's chaos. But what I will say is it's really beautiful since there are so many other really creative people that are also just trying to make art, and they're willing to do things for free or cheaper because they're like, we're just kind of grinding and we're trying to do this together. So it's really beautiful. And I also think in New York, like, there's so much opportunity here. And I know a lot of people look at New York and they're like, oh, there's so much competition, but like, I don't look at it like that. I'm like, this is so phenomenal. Like, there are so many filmmakers in one place. Like, this is so beautiful. There are so many people I can learn from, so many people I can collaborate with. So it's really beautiful. And I think like being here as an adult, like it really pushes me to be the best creative I can be, because I'm seeing such phenomenal work every single day.
I agree. I can't wait to see it. For the teaser, because you guys do have a nice promotional teaser about man-hating lesbians, very much in the format of the Burn Book from Mean Girls, and the voiceover is basically talking about the cancellation of lesbian shows. We have been hit so hard in this area. Why focus on that matter in order to include it in your promotion?
Yeah, I think it's just really frustrating because like we live in such a heteronormative society, and when you are like a young queer person growing up, and you're just looking for anywhere to see something that resonates and something that you're like, oh my God, I see myself in this character, just to have that character killed or like to have that show canceled, I'm just like, this is not like, why do we have to do this every single time? So that was really, really important for us to include, because we're just like, Hollywood looks at queerness as like a token and not necessarily as like, this is literally my life. This is how I love. This is how I show up in the world and how I show up in spaces. And being able to bring this story to life would be such an incredible love letter to our community, to be like, hey, here's a really cool show that like actually is inclusive and it's diverse and it actually talks about being a dyke in New York and how hard it is dating, just dating in general in your 20s. So it's frustrating that they keep getting canceled, but this is the show to be like, okay, no, like we have a community, we have an audience, like, and we're staying, like, and we're gonna fund it ourselves if that's what we have to do.
Awesome. Which lesbian show cancellation has hit you like the hardest?
That's a hard question. That is a hard question. I feel like it's not necessarily like a lesbian show cancellation, but I feel like I wanted to see more queerness, and it was there, but I just wanted like a spin-off. That's what I wanted, was Atypical. It's such a random answer. The show Atypical with Cass, and I think her name was Izzy in the show. I loved their storyline so much because it's so true of Cass going from like, she has a boyfriend to now having her first relationship with a woman and like navigating that. Like, I just wanted to see more of that. I just really loved Atypical, and I loved like the portrayal of that relationship. And I'm just like, I want to see more. I want to see more of that. I want a little spin-off of that. And I feel like because I'm like deep in like lesbian culture, and I feel like a lot of other people that also watched Atypical were like, I want to see more.
Yeah, I was a little hyped that you included First Kill in the promo, because down to that TikTok song that had all the lesbians going and they put it in the show, I was like, I want more.
Yeah, because that's, it's like, it really is upsetting that like all lesbian everything is like, okay, bye, you had your little moment, you gotta go now. And I'm just like, why? Literally, why? It's crazy.
It is. It truly is. What aspect of lesbianism are you excited to show for the first time in your show?
There are really so many layers in this script that are like really phenomenal, and our writer is like so incredible. There's a really nuanced character that I enjoy. Is one character that I relate to very deeply, and I'm really excited to direct her scenes, because it's basically Aphrodite, who is dating a man at the moment, and she is basically, she doesn't know she's a lesbian, and she's just going through weird feelings towards her roommate. And I'm like, ah, I'm being seen. And so when I first read the script, I was like, wait, were you there? Because that exact thing has happened to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to kind of show the self-actualization of like someone who hasn't really had a lot of experiences with a woman, have an experience with a woman for the first time, and be like, this is crazy. this is different. So yeah, I think that's an aspect that I'm really excited to direct.
Nice. No, that's relatable. And just that very specific roommate boyfriend situation, I'm like already ready to dive in.
Yeah, now, it's so good.
The show focuses on three friends. Can you give me a little taste of what is like a defining trait or a defining character flaw of each of the friends?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sarah is our bad bitch. She is the girl. Like, she knows exactly what she wants. I would say she's like, I don't think woman eater is the right phrase, but she's like, she's very sure about her sexuality. She's very sure about herself. She's very confident. She's hot. Like, people love her. She can get whoever she wants. And I love that about her. I love it about her. We have Aphrodite, who is a sex therapist assistant and who hasn't really had a lot of exposure to, has had a lot of exposure to queer spaces, but hasn't really been able to participate in queerness as much as she would like because she's had a boyfriend for like 6 years. Mm-hmm. So like, she just hasn't really been able to dive in. But she's very loyal to her friends, which is something that I love about her. And then we have River, who plays rugby, is trans mask, and is very, in the pilot, we're gonna kind of see them start to learn about gender expression and start to kind of experience some questioning of their gender, which is like, a really real thing that people go through in their 20s, especially like in New York, in spaces where you see people being so authentically themselves. So yeah, that's a little snippet about each character.
Nice. I love that the trans mask are also in there. Mm-hmm. One question, since you are from the world of Amazing Race, and that's how we first met. Yeah. Do you still watch the show at all?
Great question!
What reality shows do you like watching?
Great question. I love watching Too Hot to Handle. I know they just came out with the next season, and I'm about to binge the entire thing in the next 24 hours. I love a Too Hot to Handle. I love a Perfect Match. I love The Mole. There's one more that I just watched recently. I just started Love Island. Okay. It's so long. It's so long. I'm like 36 episodes, an hour each. That's two full days. It's so long. Those are the shows I like to watch.
Nice. It's so good. I will recommend that you watch Couple to Thruple on Peacock because they're diving into some polyamory and there's plenty of queerness there.
Yeah.
And then another one is I Kissed a Girl. It hasn't come over to
yes. Years. Wait, I heard it's that's all over my TikTok, but I have not watched it yet. Where how can I watch it?
Get a VPN. I think though in like a year it'll be available on Hulu because I Kissed a Boy is currently on Hulu.
Okay, got you.
Yeah. Those are most of my questions. Now let's get into the game portion. Now, right now we have a Kickstarter for Man Hating Lesbians. The goal is 25,000, and you guys are making great progress there, and there's different rewards. So some of these questions will be tied to what those rewards for that Kickstarter is, but some of them are just gay content.
So,
First question, which lesbian theory do you believe in more? Regina George being a lesbian or Janice Ian being a lesbian?
So I'm going to say Regina George because just the way she moves has a lot of like internalized like homophobia, a little bit of like deflecting gayness onto other people. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Regina George.
All right. Are you more of a vampire lesbian or baseball lesbian?
I'm going to say both, but I'm going to say specifically in Twilight in their baseball scene.
Look, this is exactly where my mind went. That's hilarious.
I'm reading your mind. I'm like, there are specifics.
What's your go-to gay anthem that gets you pumped for a day on set?
I have a few. So I really like, I like Sorry Sorry by Toa Bird. I like Pink Pony Club by Chapel Roan. I'm really listening to Guest by Charlie XCX featuring Billie Eilish though. Because like that has me, especially like that is, first of all, that song, incredible. And so I'm just like on set and I'm like, and so it's like, it'll hype me up every single time. It'll hype me up every time.
Nice, nice. Which celebrity couple would you want to see on Amazing Race one day?
So I'm going to say Toa Bird and Renee Rapp.
Nice.
Just because I feel like, first of all, Renee is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, she is so, and the thing is, I know she has media training, but she does not act like it. And I love that about her. She says whatever comes to her mind. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they'd be so funny. And I feel like Toa is like delicate little baby. And so I feel like that would be a really interesting thing to watch.
Yes, it would be. All right. One of your Kickstarter rewards is Aphrodite's gay wisdom. If you could pick a gay icon to give you gay wisdom, who would it be?
So if I could pick a gay icon to give me wisdom, honestly, I would say Little Richard. Because at the time, like, they were so authentically themselves when literally everyone was trying to take what was theirs and take like their title and take this thing. Like, you are like, that is the actual king of rock and roll, but if you were to ask anyone, they would say Elvis. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, so I would take advice from him, because I'm curious. I'm like, that would have broken me. So like, mm-hmm. how did you not break? Like, that's really impressive. And also just to be so authentically yourself in a time when, like, people viewed femininity specifically from men in such a negative space. Mm-hmm. Whereas now we have so much more freedom for men to express themselves freely. But back then it was not like that. So I would definitely, I'd ask him a few questions.
Yeah. It's a great pick. Great pick. Another Kickstarter reward is the NYC Dyke Starter Kit to help you prepare for a night out at Cubbyhole and the like. What advice would you give to dykes who want the ultimate gay night out in New York?
I'd say a few things. I would say start early, first of all, because one thing about a dyke is they will be at the Woods in Brooklyn. There's a bar called the Woods in Brooklyn on a Wednesday night, and if you get there after 10, you will be waiting for an hour in line. So start early, pick where you're going, drink water as per usual. You can always bring like the little crystal light. What I like to do is if I'm getting a drink, I do like tequila with like water, and then I'd add some crystal light in there. But I'm also like mid 20s, so my body does not work like how it did when I was 22. And then always tip your bartenders. Like, definitely bring cash and also close out your tabs, because I'd be forgetting to do that all the time.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've done it a few times.
It's the
really
one
good.
Thing you'll regret.
Yes! No, literally. And now I have to make the walk of shame the next day to get my card. Are you joking? This is terrible. Literally terrible. Yeah.
The She Doesn't Even Go Here reward allows a supporter to be an extra in the movie. Which lesbian TV show or movie scene do you wish you could have been an extra for?
I have a really funny answer for this. So I would want to be an extra in Jennifer's Body, but specifically the scene where Jennifer and Needy are making out on the bed. I want to be the bed. I want to be the stuffed animal. I want to be the poster on the wall. I want to be in that room.
And now I'm just thinking of room where it happens.
So literally, I want to be in the room where it happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fair. And the last one, the biggest Kickstarter reward is the executive producer reward, complete with an IMDb credit. Who is your dream lesbian producer if you can have anyone in the world?
I feel like it's probably a cliche answer, but I would say Chapel Ron at this point. I kind of went into like a deep dive because my roommates really love her, and then I was like, okay, now I really love her. And basically, I think it's incredible because she looks at Chapel Ron as like a project. Like, that is not her, that is like a project that she's doing. And she's just one of the most creative artists that I've seen that is so authentically herself, and also like, is just so creative. Like, she's just so creative. So I think she would bring such an awesome element to any project that I'm on. Just like, I just want to know how her mind works. Like, that's really, really impressive to me. Yeah.
Absolutely. For the show, like, which area of New York are you guys focusing on?
So we're filming in Manhattan and Brooklyn, mainly.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm excited. We're actually getting to film at Cubbyhole, which is one of our three lesbian bars here. So that's really, really, really beautiful. And we had our first like kickoff event for our fundraiser at Stonewall, which was like insane. Yeah. To be able to have an event literally where Pride began. Are you joking? Like, it was awesome.
I bet. Any stories you can share from that event so we can all just play make-believe that we were there too?
Yeah, it was really incredible. One of the co-creators, Malia, they put it together, and it was just like, we had a drag show, we had comedians, we had poetry reading, we had singing. Like, it was a variety show, and then we did a lot of raffles where there was one raffle that I wanted so badly, and it was a vulva necklace by a local artist, and it's literally like a crafted vulva, and it's so cool. But yeah, we were able to give away shirts from the Dyke March. We were able to give away toys, sex toys that were gifted to us by House of Toys. We were also able to give away vouchers to get the like infinity bracelets that like you go and get welded with a partner and they stay on both of you forever and ever. And you have to like cut it off, which is like crazy to give a lesbian, but whatever. Because like you'll find someone after 2 weeks and you're like, great,
sure,
you will come to me and we'll do this together. It was like so incredible. We raised like $1,500 that night. It was like a really incredible kind of push. And in September, we're doing quite a few more events for our community. We're doing a queer filmmakers panel and meetup that we're about to announce. We're hopefully hosting a party with a prominent lesbian influencer/host. So yeah, we have some really, really, really incredible things. We have our like some music that's being made by a really prominent gay singer, pop singer, that I can't share yet, but we have some super awesome stuff in the pipeline for this project. So yeah, I'm so excited to share it with the world.
I'm so excited to see more. Where can people follow you and support the project?
So people can follow me at Shariq Geneve, SHARIKGENEVE, on all platforms, and can support the project. Crazy enough, on no platforms had Man-Hating Lesbians, like, taken. So we are literally at Man-Hating Lesbians on all of our platforms.
Right.
Like, how is that possible? So yeah, very easy search. So that's how you can find me and the project.
Nice. And guys, I'm your host, Nicole Weaver. I'm an entertainment reporter currently writing over at Collider and the HBIC of the Black Bi Reality Podcast. Please follow across all socials and support this awesome project. And have a good one, guys. Bye.